Amen. Since you cannot shake or hug your neighbor inside here, can you wave to your neighbor, greet your neighbor as if he's so far you cannot reach him, but he can see you. Hallelujah. You know, there are two groups of people that are worshiping God and praising God. Such love, such wondrous love. One group are those who have some testimony, they have some breakthrough. Their husband gave them a special gift last night or this morning. Oh, they are able to pay their house rent in a miraculous way. Oh, some gift, some miracle took place. They are anxious to go to church and praise God and praise God. Then there is another group, amen, that are facing the worst frustrations anybody can think of. Yet they are praising God. I want to assure you, that group, your praises touch God. Hallelujah. There's another group that also sing along in Bright Assembly, because most of our worship songs are sung in Igbo language. So, but they must sing anyhow. We don't know what they are singing, but we are singing along with them. We are those that you say we are worshiping by faith, believing that what they are saying is praising God, so we join them by faith. I have one very interesting member, Sister Nolunga. She's a South African, but based in the Republic of Ireland. And she was telling me, I don't know whether this microphone is long enough to hear her sing one of the Igbo songs when we are worshiping. Listen very well. At least she hear doctor. Let's clap our hands for her now. Sorry, it was not long enough. You didn't give them volume for here. She was singing Igbo song. She's a South African. Sister Nolunga, you're not alone. Me too, I join you to sing it like that. Because I don't know what they are saying. I don't know how to say what they are saying. But I know that they are worshiping God. For everyone in any how you are worshiping God today, God will bless you. I say God will bless you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We want to continue our will I call it a Bible study or an exhortation? Part 2 of the sin unto death. I will pick our text from 1 John chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. 1 John.
If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto
just
death.
One moment, let some people open their Bibles, or maybe it is shown on the screen. Yes, please.
If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death.
If any man, anybody, if you see your brother, yeah, we're talking of Christian brothers, sin a sin which is not unto death.
He shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he shall pray for it. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not unto death.
And there is also sin unto death. That is what that scripture is saying. And we try to look at, if you were not here last Sunday, please get the tape and listen. But we will give a recap and continue. It's important that we know it. This is for believers. This sin unto death is for believers. And they are categorized into 5 categories. I had limited them to 3, but they are actually, when I looked at the subject matter again, I saw that they are 5. And we saw last week that the first sin unto death, that you don't need to pray for the person. No prayer can reverse it, is the unpardonable sin that we see. We saw it as the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. It's an unpardonable sin. Unpardonable sin. And it is the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. We are recapping. And that is in, I gave the scriptures as Matthew 12, verse 31 to 32. And I say you should note particularly verse 36 and 37. Let's read it. Matthew 12, verse 36 and verse 37. After he warned them about the blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, verse 37, verse 37, what does he say?
But I say unto you,
listen very well,
that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified.
By thy words from your mouth.
And by thy words thou shalt be condemned.
Therefore, that is the reason we are picking this topic. Remember, I stressed last week that unbeliever cannot commit blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. If you read the text that led to that comment by the Lord Jesus Christ, you will see that it was the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, the religious people, out of envy, pride. Attention is shifting from me to you. Therefore, the only way to destroy you is to say that the anointing that you are using is of the devil. Church, don't come this far in your Christian journey to a ministry like this, a teaching ministry, and you hear the things you hear here and still remain the same. What revelation does it shapes your Christian perception. So that some errors you are into, you begin to correct them. That is what the wise virgins did. They trimmed their lamps of revelation. That is the difference between the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. There are things that you must never be guilty of. That's why when a brother told me, I think it's Brother Lumide, we were discussing on Friday or so. He said that before he came here, he said that he because of what he was taught, wherever he came from, that T.B. Joshua, he said he hated the man. He didn't like him until he came here and had a teaching that you don't know you you can speak against the doctrine, you can speak against the character, but be careful about speaking against an anointing. He caught the mystery and he repented. That is the whole purpose of such teachings. So that you don't use your mouth and condemn yourself. You don't use your mouth and enter trouble. That's what that verse 36 and 37 is saying. You are condemned by the things you say with your mouth. And if you are saying it in complete ignorance, no problem. But if you are saying it because you are envious of anybody God is using, you are finished. Because you will be calling the Holy Ghost devil. And who is the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Jesus Christ in his church. He said when he came as a human being, he came for the first part of his ministry. He came to be rejected. He came to be stoned. He came to be spat upon. He came to be crucified. He came to die. He came to be killed. You can do anything at all, but when he has succeeded and conquered on the cross, and now he's in his second walk of his ministry, in those that he has paid the price for, walking in his church, and you still call him Beelzebub, devil, witch, occult power, you are not of God, he said, that sin will not be forgiven here or hereafter. Why? It's because what you are actually doing is you are crucifying him a second time. There is the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the day of vengeance. The vengeance is not the vengeance on the crucifixion on the cross. No. The vengeance about what people have been doing with his name after he paid the price on the cross on Calvary. You have been messing him up. He cannot be crucified a second time. Church, never you get guilty of that. If you don't understand something, close your mouth. And don't follow people to say what they are saying. Even if the person come and tell you, I was with him, he did this, he did this. I saw him when he entered the Babalawo house. And he said, now you see me, I no see. Therefore, don't go and repeat what somebody else has spoken. When it comes to the matter of the spirit, the matter of ministry work, the anointing, somebody is saying, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, if they are not for us, they are not against us, they are for us. Be careful, unless you are sure that the anointing is another spirit, and by their fruits, you will know them. Praise the Lord. Be very, very careful. Especially, you see me, I'm taking time on this blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. It's good to warn the believers. Because it is a sin that is not forgivable. You should run away far from it. A sin that will not be forgiven here or hereafter. You should run away far from it. There are people that are ordained to this condemnation. Don't join them. You are not ordained to it. Praise the Lord. In a ministry like this, where God is moving in the spirit, in different manifestations, be careful. The most carnal people are gifted people. The most carnal people, when an unconverted person is operating a gift, fear that person. When somebody who is not converted is operating a spiritual gift, fear that person. Fear that person more than you fear any drunk or armed robber outside. I'm telling you the truth. And I pray that you will not be a borrowed vessel in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. That is number one category of the sin unto death. The second is those who will fall, who commit sin unto death. We looked at it last week. Are those who are falling from grace. And we picked that from Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. That's where we picked that from.
Christ has become of no effect unto you.
Yes.
Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are falling from grace.
You see, the emphasis there is you are falling from grace. So the question is, can one fall from grace? Yes. Now, listen, during the COVID-19, for those of you who are following us online, I took a teaching on the works of grace. And I said that there are four works of grace. We have been saying all these years, that is why I said, listen to the messages we preach here. If you miss any service, go back to the archives and listen to the sermon. That's why every Sunday we make a repeat broadcast of the sermon that is was preached on Sunday morning, every Sunday evening. So that if you lost it in the morning, you can catch it in the evening, or go to the Facebook, go to the YouTube, go to our website, both Bright TV and the Bright Assembly Church. Listen so that you follow and catch up. You follow and catch up. You have no excuse to say, I'm a new member. How long will you remain new? How long will you remain new? In 1979, I was sent to the Kaduna Polytechnic to read accountancy. And in my secondary school, I did not read commercial subjects. And when I reached, there is the introductory, they call it intro class, before you go and start ND1. So the intro class is for those who didn't have maybe no knowledge of commercial papers or commercial subjects, or those who didn't get up to the required credits in WAEC. They jumped me to the next class. I jumped the intro class. And when I sat down there, they were taking accountancy as a subject. And I didn't read accountancy in my secondary school. I didn't know anything. We were just about 30 of us in the class. The lecturer finished what the grammar they were speaking in tongue there on the blackboard. And then he said, now prepare the final accounts. Then everybody, they were with their paper. I don't know, what is final account? What are they talking? The man went around. As you are writing, he's going around to see what people are doing while you are writing. He got to my table. Of course, you can imagine what he will have seen. Then he said, who is this one? He said, what are you doing here? I must go to school, Abby. That was his language. I must go to school. That's why you are here. And he walked past. I'm giving this testimony that may challenge somebody here too. And I got angry. Because already, not just that I didn't do commercial something, I was 3 months late. They had gone 3 months, so you can imagine the level they were, and I'm just coming to join them. So quickly, I said, this is serious. I took a decision. I stopped attending that class. I went to the bookshop. I went to the elementary books, book one, book two. Some of you who did accounting, you know Favel. Favel, book one, book two, book three, elementary. I took the syllabus of the class, subject by subject, the one that I had not known. And every day I decided I will not go to nightclub, I will not chase woman that period, I will not drink beer, I must catch up with this class. Every day, morning till night, I am in the library, reading and studying. The one I don't know, I will catch one of the students, they will teach me, until I caught up with the class. And I sat down and I wrote exams with them and I passed. Praise the Lord. For those of you who say you came late, you are a new member in the church, how long will you be new? You better catch up. If not, the bride has her language. Oh, if not, we'll be speaking some things. You'll be saying, what are they saying? Which one is shalom, 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 shalom? What do you mean, shalom, shalom? Which one be a bride, the bride again? Which one be a bride, the bride, the bride? Listen, go back to the tapes. Go back. In our tape archive, there are over 500 messages I have preached with 500 different topics to give us a picture of this divine agenda. And those of you who were here before, who have been here for long, you have been concentrating on your problem. Problem will not stop coming. Oh, when this one go, another one will come. Oh. So also face your eternal destination. Study. That is what I am trying to encourage you. My example in a school is the same thing, something you can learn from. Go back. Anything you are determined to achieve, you can achieve it. Anything you are determined to achieve, you can achieve it. Praise the Lord. When I appeared again in the class, the teacher told me, say, this one, are you back? I said, I answered him, I said, you will know me after our exams. That's what I told him. You will know whether I am back after our exams. And after the exams, he called me and shook hands with me. Because I had to tell him my story. I said, see, this is my background. That day you spoke to me, you don't know what you did to me. You challenged me. Even some people here, they will be angry. No, I am challenging you now. Because in the past, we thought that the works of grace, they are three. Yes, they are three. But there is one that must be added. We have justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But there is another one, which is revelatory knowledge. Revelatory knowledge, it enables you to move to the next step, which is justification. If you have no knowledge, you cannot submit yourself to be justified. Praise the Lord. And Noah found grace by what? A revelatory knowledge. The knowledge that judgment is coming. But you, I have decided to, you found grace with me, Noah. And have this knowledge. Everybody is living their life anyhow. But listen, Noah, I am going to destroy this world. I am going to destroy this world. In all the whole world, only Noah knew that the world was to be destroyed. That knowledge, Noah did not go to look for it in a library. He did not go to the mountain. He didn't even know anything was going to happen until God came to him to give him that revelation. It is grace. It is grace. Hallelujah. Pastor Elvis, come. You are telling me your knowledge of that work of grace. You are sharing with me in the office. And I'm sure you share it with your class too, Professor Elvis. You are saying something about that works of grace.
Yes. Noah actually, like you said, received the grace.
Yes.
Then Lot also received the same grace Noah received. Lot, yes. And told his family. But before they could get to justification, Lot's wife fell from that grace. Because she didn't get to the next works of grace, which is justification.
Thank you.
And those also who received that grace of justification, like Simeon the sorcerer, he got the revelation and revelatory knowledge of grace. He moved to justification and he baptized.
Baptized, that's
but
justification.
Before he got to sanctification, he fell away from that same grace. Then the last one is sanctification, and this is the heat of it. Those that blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. That is why Paul says in that Hebrews 6 verse 6, when these people fall out, we should forget about them, because they've known all they needed to know about God. And when they fall out, they've not been accepted by the beloved.
Thank you. Thank you. Can we clap our hands for that exposition? I like to see students who are catching up like this. So, these works of grace, you can fall off from it. You can fall off from the first stage. You will move to the next stage. After you have entered water baptism and come out justification, you may not go to the next stage, which is sanctification. And if you don't move to the next stage, which is sanctification, you will not get to the stage of glorification. You can fall off from any stage out of the four works of grace. And in Titus, we looked at it last week, that grace is unmerited favor of God. And grace is a gift. And we see that in Ephesians chapter 2. If you read it from verse 1 to 10, I gave you the scriptures last week. And in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the grace that we are looking at is the grace that bringeth salvation. There is the grace that has no salvation virtue, and there is the grace that brings salvation. When you say bring salvation, that is the grace that will enable you escape from the destruction that is coming upon this world. One of these days, this world will be rolled away and it will become history like the time of Noah. And what we are trying to stress here, why you will fall away from this grace, is because you are not to be hearers only, the Bible says so, but doers of the word. Grace enables you to hear something, but righteousness must follow. That is doing what you hear. You are not to hear only, you are to do. Not to hear the word, but also do the work of God. Do the work of God. Don't be hearers only. That's why you still say, those who have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. Because you will never, let's hear the way James put it, and let's see the way also Moses put it. James chapter 1, from verse 21
Wherefore, to 25. Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness.
Yes.
And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
When you do that, you are deceiving yourself. You are not deceiving God.
For if any be a hearer of the word.
This is how many people are Christians.
And not a doer. It's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass.
In a glass. For mirror.
For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way. And straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was.
That is what Christians go through after church service.
But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth hearing, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his
deeds. And in Deuteronomy 29:29.
The secret things belong unto the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong unto us
those
and to our children.
Those things which are revealed belong unto us
and to our children forever.
That
we may do all the words of this law.
That we may do all the words of this law, the word of God. The Bible, Jesus himself was saying, why are you calling me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I tell you? Why do you call somebody Lord, Lord, and you will not obey him? We are talking about falling from grace. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It's not only that you believe, you will be baptized. There's an action that we follow. And this baptism, before baptism, there must be repentance. So it goes, baptism starts with repentance. So we saw last week an example of those that fell from this grace of God, like our brother Elvis spoke. Lot's wife is a perfect example. Israel in the wilderness, perfect example. The evidence that you believe is your action. The evidence that you believe is your action. Hebrews chapter 4 says, they did not enter the rest because of unbelief. Yet, they left Egypt on their way to the promised land. If you ask them, they would say they are going to the promised land, but they did not believe in that God that was taking them to the promised land. Therefore, they never entered there. Obedience is the evidence that you believe. And the enter message followers are another example. Example of Lot's wife. Because the denominational Sodom, the grace of God, it came with a message. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message. Did you catch it? He said God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last age. He said we have caught that revelation by the last prophet's message, and we know who we are. What are you raised up for? Original Christianity. Original life. Lot. Many of us were in the denomination where we are like Lot, who was sighing every day at the abomination that were taking place in these denominations. Churches have been reduced to one manner of church or family businesses. All manner of abominations are going on in the denomination. They have kept the Bible aside, held onto their creeds and dogmas. Praise God. You were there sighing like Lot, and grace found you. And you are singing, our eyes of understanding he has opened up at last, and sweet victory is ours. Who we are chained down in the past. Sweet victory. Listen, the sound of Jubilee has sounded. Jubilee is freedom. You came out of the denomination. Remember, Revelation 17, woman there is a harlot and mother of harlots. And we know who they are. They are the denominational Protestant churches that broke out from their mama harlot, the Catholics. A harlot that has daughters, the daughters will be harlots too. But you don't belong to that place. God sent a message and you came out. Praise the Lord. But not all that left Egypt made it to the promised land. Not all that left Sodom made it. Not all that left the denomination said they are following the entire message will make it. Many will fall from this wonderful grace. In Luke chapter 9, verse 62, the Lord Jesus warned us in this direction. Verse 62.
And Jesus said unto him,
yes,
no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.
Again.
And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God.
Once you have put your hand there, don't look back. Don't look back. What does it mean to look back? Don't go back to your old lifestyle. You have been transformed from one lifestyle to another. Christianity is also, it goes with a lifestyle for identity. There are things that are strange in Christian faith. Strange. Very, very strange. If you are going to move forward, put away all the strange gods. There are things that you know are strange, but they are imported into the Christian faith. The reason is simple. James said, you are adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that the friendship of this world is enmity with God? When you say you're a Christian and you are yoked again to the world, the Bible calls you an adulterer, an adulteress, a fornicator. You are fornicating with the world. They have their master, you have your master. And it's not even every ministry you yoke yourself with. It's not every church you yoke yourself with. So many years ago, before this church started, I was into very serious and aggressive evangelism. I had an organization, the West African Prisons Outreach, that I had set up. I was visiting in my organization about 93 prisons in Nigeria alone every week. And it covered the whole of West Africa Almost all the prisons in these West African countries I have visited, preaching the gospel. And I got to anywhere I reached, the nearest inter-mercy church, I will introduce that church to the prison so that they can be visiting the prisoners there and preaching there. And I got to a town, because I am being heard now, let me not be too specific. I went to that town in Delta State, and they belong to this Thunder people. I remember I was never among them. I came straight from Ikoyi prison and then found this group that were fighting them, and the fight was thick that time because they were breaking inter-mercy churches without revelation. Thunder is revealed, thunder is revealed, and all the nonsense that accompanied it. And then I didn't know them. I didn't know what they stood for other than that doctrine. Now, I visited, and there were a big church in that town. And then the man said, they received us so much. They received us. And I've been visiting people. Those who don't believe in thunder never showed that type of love. I saw love among these people. A big church that they were, the pastor was telling me that they had announced to their members that I was coming, I was supposed to minister in that church that weekend. And he begged me, he said, please don't eat in the hotel. They lodged us in a very fine hotel. We were three of us. Lodged us in that fine hotel. He begged me, he said, please don't eat in the hotel. And to avoid trouble among my members with me, please, you'll be eating in my house, because every family, they are opting to be the one that will cook for you. Ha! May this church reach that level. May this church reach that level. And that's the truth. Praise God. That's the truth. Our online members visit us here. They come here strangers. They leave strangers. They come here strangers, they live strangers. I don't know when we shall become one. Until we struggle, because he said he put us in a hotel to avoid the trouble, because when he told them that we were arriving, everybody was up in, I will take care of him. He will stay in my house. This one will stay in my house. This one will stay in my house. He said to avoid trouble, he said, no, okay, let them stay in the hotel. Food again. Okay, if you will not stay with me, I'll be the one to feed them. Love. I never saw that in my former church. Like Ebele, did we see that in our former church? Ebele, not the church. Eh? For our former church, you get that kind of love?
No, sir.
We stay in that church for 5 years. Do you get that type of love there?
No, sir.
And when I came back, I shared it with you. Anyway, so in the house there, my former church, they said we should not keep television. Television is of the devil, my own church. But I told the pastor, I didn't see the revelation, no. Out of all of us, I think either one or two of us only had television. Every day the man will preach. Television is of the devil. If you keep television, you have the devil. You can never go to heaven. Before he finished, I will send Usher with a note. Sorry, sir. I still keep my own. You have not convinced me that for me to watch Christian program on television is sin. To watch news is sin, sir. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I'm still keeping my own, no. The man go vex. Anyway, that one is history. Praise the Lord. Now, one day, praise the Lord. Anyway, the story continues this way. I went to the pastor's house, and he put on his television and played a tape, a message preached by Joseph Coleman, the originator of that error called Thunder is Revealed. It's a gross error. Complete error. And they're hearing me now. Nothing like that. All of you believing that thing is error. It's unscriptural. A spirit of error hijacked all of you. They hate me for saying this. May God love me for saying it. Because it's scriptural. Well, for the first time I'm among thunder believing, and they showed so much love. And all of a sudden, I saw, the man preached such a wonderful sermon, and I said, please, how can I get more tapes of this Joseph Coleman? Because this message was powerful. He gave me the address in Lagos where I can come and collect the tapes. Gave me the address of their Nigeria headquarters here in Lagos and everything. And I was already angry. Imagine these people fill up with love. And our pastor will tell us not to go near them. And then what they have, we don't have it. Imagine love. And when I go to Lagos, I will visit that church. I will worship with them. That's what I had in my mind. In the night, I had a dream the same way God talks to me. I saw myself flirting with a friend's wife. And I know even as an unbeliever, even my friend's girlfriend, I won't flirt with her. Talk less of a married woman. And when I woke up after that dream, I was worried. What kind of nonsense? I'm flirting. I am flirting with somebody's wife. We were playing, we were just flirting like that. But the wife, the girl is a very beautiful lady. Naturally, very beautiful lady. She was a model, the wife of a friend of mine. And while I was meditating on my bed about the dream, the Lord told me that this church, these people you are mixing with, he said, they are another man's wife. They are another man's wife. I said, I jumped up. I called Pastor Enoch, who went with me then. I said, see the revelation I have. These people, the spirit of error, the Lord told me that what we are doing with these people, we are flirting with another man's wife. It's another spirit that there is upon them. Well, everybody knows how God talks to him. His phone number, I threw it away. They tape everything, I threw it away. I never went near that people. In fact, he called me several times. I refused to pick the call. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So that you will understand why we are stressing these things and stressing and kept stressing the need for you to stay with the word of God. It's he that endured to the end that will be saved. Take note of that. Hebrews chapter 6. If you draw back, my spirit has no pleasure in you. The Bible says so. Praise the Lord. He that putteth his hand on the plow and looketh back is not worthy. Verse 4 to verse 8. Get the meaning now. And what he's saying, that is Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 to verse 8. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift. You were once enlightened and you have tasted of the heavenly gift. And we are made partakers of the Holy Ghost. That is the partaker of the Holy Ghost. No baptism of the Holy Ghost. So it's talking about the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And have tested the good word of God. You have confirmed the word of God and the power of the world to come. A foretaste of glory divine. You have seen God in action. He said it is impossible. If they shall fall away, it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. Seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Why does he say so? Praise the Lord. That is the sin unto death. You look back. Apostle Paul, again in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, he speaks about, but if you commit sin willfully, for if you sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, what remain again? there remained no more sacrifice for sin. What is it next?
But a certain careful looking for of judgment and
fiery
indignation.
The next thing is judgment and fiery indignation.
We shall devour the adversaries.
You see? Sin unto death. And take note, I want to emphasize something here. Backsliding is different from falling from grace. If you are writing it, write it down very well and meditate on it. Backslid is the besetting sin, which you see in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1.
Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
That is the one that he said, the righteous falleth seven times, but he shall rise again. The besetting sin, you can pray for that person, and the person can be restored. That's why he said in James chapter 5, verse 16. James chapter 5, verse 16.
Confess your faults one to another.
That is the sin. And then you should do what?
And pray for one another that ye may be healed.
That is, confess there. Tell your brother, your sister, your weaknesses.
And pray for one another that ye may be healed.
Now you can pray for one another that you may be healed. This healing here is, the healing here is restoration. It's not talking of a headache and stomach pain and fibroid and cyst and diabetes. That's not it all.
The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much.
If you go to verse 19 and verse 20.
Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him.
If somebody can be converted when you err, that one is your backsliding.
Let him know that he which converted the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins.
But the sin, that is backsliding, but the sin of falling from grace, the person can never be restored. The person can never be restored. Just as we saw in Hebrews chapter 6. Because he has tested everything that will make him stay. He has confirmed it. And despite that, he goes back again to the world. It is because he was never converted. Never. I have to take note of that. So a backsliding person can be restored, but one that is falling from grace can never be restored. Hallelujah. Sin unto death number three. Sin unto death number three is turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. Jude, verse 3-7.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this
certain
condemnation.
Certain men crept into the church unawares, but they are ordained to this condemnation.
Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness.
They turn the grace of our God into what?
Lasciviousness.
Lasciviousness. And doing what?
And denying the Lord, the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
When you say denying the Lord God, how do you deny? They are not saying that Jesus is not Lord. That's not what they are saying, you know. That's not. It is the life that they are living. The Bible, for instance, said the fool has said in his heart there is no God. If he said it in his heart, then how did you hear it? For you to say he said in his heart there is no God. It is that the life that he lives is evidence that he does not believe there is a God. So also, denying the Lord God is another one. Apostle Paul put it this way. He said, this category of people, they are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of truth. He said, they have a form of godliness, but do what?
Deny the power
thereof. They are Christians. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And the first power that they deny is the power of conversion. They refuse to submit themselves for God to convert them. They just want to live their Christian life, live their worldly life, and just add Christianity to it. Shift from their idolatry and then come to Christ. Add Jesus to among the idols they have. Come with the worldly fashions. Add Jesus to their worldly fashions. They have nothing to that it cost them coming to Christ. Nothing they have dropped to be able to follow Christ. No cross to show for it. The next verse.
I will therefore put you in remembrance.
Yes.
Though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt,
listen,
afterward destroyed them that believed not.
Uh-huh.
And the angels which kept not their first estate,
uh-huh,
but left their own habitation.
That's the certainty of the judgment that is coming.
He had reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day.
Uh-huh.
Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, as set for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire.
Amen. When he said they turned the grace of God into lasciviousness, what is the meaning of lasciviousness? Lasciviousness is unbridled lust, uncontrollable lust, unchecked lust. And this lust is both sexual lust and lust for materialism. Acquisition of the way they want to acquire, they want to own everything. That spirit, the spirit of lust. Anyone involved in that is living a lascivious lifestyle. Sexual lust. Involve themselves into all manner of abominable sexual practices. No fear of God. You live anyhow. Chase women anyhow. Chase men anyhow. Because you want to have them have every uncontrollable desire for women or for men is a lascivious lifestyle. A perfect example is Solomon. How will one man have 1,000 women? Why will one man have all manner of wealth? Yes, God promised him that he will be wealthy, but his wealth destroyed him. The same women destroyed him. Lasciviousness. Ahab suffered so much with lust until he will, including Solomon. I say it is unbridled lust, no control. Even the word of God put boundary, they will cross the boundary. You are not supposed to marry the Philistines. You are not supposed to marry outside Israel. But Solomon acquired until those women led him to be worshiping the gods of wherever he married them from. That's the truth. Ahab, that is what led him to go and marry Jezebel. Sin unto death. And you know the end of Ahab. This quest for materialism is what is the commonest in the church of Jesus Christ. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, let's take that reading. Read it from verse 6 first.
But godliness with contentment is great gain.
Go up to verse 4. I want us to start somewhere.
He is proud.
Anyone that preaches anything different from this humble gospel, verse 3, what does it say?
If any man teach otherwise, and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness.
A doctrine that is according to godliness.
He is proud, knowing nothing.
Listen. Godliness is different from holiness. So, godliness is a life led by God. Holiness is only a part of godliness. Take note of that. Go on.
He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself.
From such, withdraw yourself. Anyone that is preaching that evidence that God is with you is that you will prosper, you will own houses, you will own cars, you will own this, you become millionaire, you become billionaires. Evident that God is with you, evident that he's practicing the word of God. He said, that person is lying, run away from him. Run away from him, because that gospel is going to lead you to be separated from God. Read on.
Verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great.
That is the gospel. Contentment. Just like concerning women dressing, we have no chalk to draw. We have no picture to draw and snap and say, this is how a woman should dress. But you should dress with moderation. The word is moderation. In godliness with contentment. Concerning acquisition, only be content. Anything beyond contentment is lasciviousness. Read on. out. You ever have this knowledge that we came to this world naked, Job had it, and naked we are going, it will guide you to live a life of contentment. Next, go on.
And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation.
That is those, verse 9 now. Hallelujah. But they that will be rich, that means those that pursue wealth, that's the meaning. Those that pursue wealth, you want to acquire, what will happen to them?
Fall into temptation.
They are the ones that will fall into temptation and the snare.
And into many foolish and artful lusts, which drown men in destruction
sin
and perdition.
Sin unto death. It drowns men to destruction and what?
Perdition.
Perdition. Perdition is destruction. The type of destruction that leads you to hellfire. That's perdition.
For the love of money is the root of all
evil. Can you see? Can you see lasciviousness? The love of money, love. The love of money, acquisition. Uncontrollable desire to have things. That is the meaning of lust.
For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith.
And did what?
And pierced themselves through with many sorrows.
Many sorrows. Because you cannot serve God and mammon. Jesus says so. Your eye must be single. Praise the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The first four verses there from verse 1.
Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness.
We are not walking in craftiness.
Nor handling the word of God deceitfully.
We don't handle the word of God deceitfully. If I stand at the... there are pastors. These are some of the things that many pastors will be so guilty of. That William Bryan say he doubts how many pastors. I think he will say whether five or so. That will make heaven. I want to be among those that will go. Handling the word of God, what? Deceitfully. Let me explain a little bit. Amen. Because there's a grace. A pastor builds confidence on himself. Builds confidence in himself. So much that if he stands and tells you God to say you should do anything, you will do it. I'm talking for pastors to hear me. I'm talking for ministers of God to hear me. Somebody was telling me that his pastor, a popular prophet in Nigeria, who also has a television station, he said they were time for them to pay, and there was no money in the account to pay for their airtime for that month. They came to him to say, "Sir, see. He said, "How much?" He said, "Don't worry." He said, "Don't worry, I'll call you. I know how we get the money." He picked phone and called somebody in Abuja. I said, "The Lord say I should come over and pray with you. I need to come and have a vigil with you." He said, the person was like, "Can I send you a ticket?" He said, no. I'm coming to pray. I'll buy my ticket. Don't worry, my return ticket. Don't worry. What of hotel? Don't worry, I'm just coming there specially to just pray for you and come. Of course, he took the next flight to Abuja. And by the time he was coming back after that vigil in the house, he knew the check that was given to him. "Thank you, sir." And he landed and called the department. He said, "Shile, come and take and go and pay." And the man was saying, "Sir, how manage?" He said, "I told you, don't worry. I know what to do to get money. You are doing the work of God deceitfully." There are many revelations that gifted people give so that they will have food to eat. If you are using your gift that way, you are doing the work of the Lord deceitfully. The Bible says, "Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully." There's a curse that follows it. There's a curse that follows it. There are people that believe that this gift they have, they will just use it to eat. Yes, he that plows, plows in hope. But don't use corny. When hungry, why are you? You pick phone call and give one stupid revelation. "We need to get 5 people to go to the mountain." They may actually go to the mountain. They may actually go to that mountain. But the reason they are going is not to pray for you. It's the hope that when they finish that prayer, something will come out as offering. We know they charge you. We know they ask anything. No. We know they charge you. We know they ask anything. No. We know they charge you. We know they ask anything. Praise the Lord. Do you know that I have... If I want to have a brand new phone, do you know that if I come here now and say, "My phone, sorry, you cannot talk to me, my phone is bad. Please, I'm looking for phone. When I get phone, when I look," before service finish, everybody has offer for phone everywhere. Why did I talk there? It's because I know if I say it, phone will come. I'm doing the work of the Lord deceitfully. Do you know that if I want to have money after service, do you know I will stand and give you revelation and say, "Look, all that is in my pocket, the Lord said I should carry it and give you." Why do I have to tell you it's all that is in my pocket? Because I know once I give you, before the end of the day, I will see a lot on my phone. "Kai, this man, Kai. No, I replace that money. You are doing the work of the Lord deceitfully. Stop that. Sin unto death. Lasciviousness is the cause of that. You will not fear God. You fear God. I have told you, I say, the time we needed money the most in this church was the time they are bringing fat tight. I am saying, what do you do? I don't even know. He's not even a church member. If he's a church member, you know, I won't even ask. From nowhere. When we needed money, he's bringing 50 million. When we were in Mafuluku, they were bringing 40 million. Those of you who were in Mafuluku, you know, Nyamere, you know. I look at it and say, see these people. You think it is because of money I am preaching? You want to use money to tempt me? Praise God. A sister called me from South Africa. I know you are hearing me now. Hope I remember your name. Praise the Lord. You know, I remember it because you were the one that called my attention to it. I am doing a normal thing and you are letting me to know that it's a fantastic thing. And she said, she visited a man of God that had directed her to go for water baptism in Johannesburg. She said, when she got there, she was baptized. But he said, that servant of God, his condition was very, very terrible, horrible. He said, Pastor, but I keep my tithe. I know that my tithe, I'm supposed to pay tithe where I am feeding from. And I'm feeding from Bread Assembly. And I always send. And the person that's supposed to send our tithe, there's a way they send it, has not been around. So we have kept it for, is it 2 or 3 months? Tithe and my offering, they are kept. But when I went there, I saw his condition and I don't have any money to help him. So, Pastor, can I share this money into two and give him some and send the rest to Bride Assembly Church? And I said, Sister, listen to me. That tithe is for who? It's for God. And you went, you saw a son of God that is hungry. And you are asking whether that money should be given to him or not. Are you spiritual? What if it is for this reason that money has not been sent to Lagos? I said, give him everything. You have paid your tithe. Praise the Lord. Now she is surprised. She said, you are not two. Your type are not two. He said she was waiting for me to say, no, bring everything to me. Since it is for my ministry, and then speak grammar and follow it. She's shocked that I said, give everything to him. And I told her, I said, that action may be what God will use to deliver you, because she has a problem. She needed deliverance. Now, I should not, because we need money. She's going to send dollars. We need dollars. We pay dollars every month to even be on air. I say, no, bring it to me. Bring everything to me. If I do that, I am doing the work of the Lord deceitfully. And God will judge me if I do that. I know better than that. Praise the Lord. And I'm not telling you to take your tithe and give anybody. Don't carry the tithe that you're bringing and give somebody. Praise the Lord. Don't rob Peter to pay Paul. But I hope you catch what I'm saying. The situations come that all you have is just that tithe that you have. And somebody, you know, this is a child of God that is in need. And you ignore that person. With that tithe in your pocket, you are taking it to the church to pay. You have wasted that. God brought that poor person to you because he has his money with you. You should be spiritual enough to say, Father, this is all I have. I'm giving him, I've paid my tithe. And God, heaven will be clapping hands for you. Praise the Lord. Pastors will not like this type of gospel. Amen. One man from the east says, don't mind that man in Bride Assembly, Pastor Moses. He made it before he came into the gospel. He called there the spoil people own. I will spoil all the nonsense you people are doing by opening the people's eyes. Who told you I made money before I came into the ministry? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Read that scripture, we'll never finish.
Jude 1 verse 8. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh.
No. We are reading a scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We hadn't finished that. Verse 2. Read it again from verse 2.
But I have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty.
We have renounced dishonesty. We are honest, sincere in everything we are doing now.
Not walking in craftiness.
Craftiness, as I've been describing.
Nor handling the word of God deceitfully.
Deceitfully.
But by manifestation of the truth, condemning ourselves to every man's conscience.
Conscience
in the sight of God.
In the sight of God.
But if our gospel be
hid. This is where I am going. If what we are preaching is hidden,
it is hid to them that are lost.
It is because forever you are lost. If you don't catch what we are saying, you are ordained to hell.
In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not.
It is because the God of this world has blinded the minds of them who believe not.
Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them.
Lasciviousness. The only reason you don't listen to what we are preaching here is because the God of this world, and the God of this world is Satan, with all the attractions, has blinded your eyes so that the glorious light of the gospel will not shine your way. It will not be your portion in the name of Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 4 reemphasizes verse 2, 3, and 4.
Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering
and
doctrine.
That is what I am doing now.
For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
And this is the time where people will not endure sound doctrine.
But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears.
Yes.
And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables.
They will be turning unto fables. One of the fables are this grace that has no salvation virtue. You see? Praise the Lord. There are scriptures that will make you wise unto salvation. And there are scriptures that have no salvation virtue. But it is the one that have no salvation virtue, the churches that preach such, see the crowd that go there. Because the word that they hear there, you know, appeal to the flesh and not to the soul. There is a prosperity of the soul also. Don't neglect it. Lost. Concerning what happened in the wilderness, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 6. This was the warning. 1 Corinthians
now,
chapter 10.
Now, these things were examples.
Yes.
To the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted.
They lusted. Now, this is the story. Just for the purpose to understand what this lasciviousness means and what is it that they lusted after. And see how it went in Numbers chapter 11. That is what Apostle Paul is referring to. From verse 4. Numbers chapter 11. Read it up to verse 25.
And the mixed multitude.
Listen very well as he's reading. Please read it so that we will catch the impact of what the Lord is making us to know here.
And the mixed multitude that was among them.
Mixed multitude.
Fell in lusting.
Because it is not everybody. It's not everybody. Even as I'm preaching now. You know, last Sunday, I made sure that we finish everything before I preach at the end. By the time, if I had said those things I said last Sunday, then after I said, let us worship God, we for never enter spirit. Some people were really, really broken down. Everybody, those who are sincere, they knew that they were guilty of it. A sister came to my office and said, Daddy, you were preaching me. I am guilty. I know I am guilty of so many things you were saying. Ah, so somebody can fall from grace like this. You see, read on.
And the mixed multitude that was among them fell and lost in.
Yes.
And the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic.
Can you see them looking back? They're looking back at cucumber. Looking back at the garlic. Some of you will say, when I was in my former church in the denomination, things were not bad like this. Somebody left a denomination and came here, and the general overseer, popular general overseer, When she called him to point to him the errors in their church, that's why he has left the church. He said, just when your breakthrough is about to come, you decided to leave our church. You will just suffer for nothing. So I'm in the church.